This is Jordan Secchio in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Secchio Live, we're going to talk about a number of issues that are facing our country, but this is Veterans Day, and what we should do right now, and first and foremost, is thank those men and women who have served and are serving our country to protect us. A happy Veterans Day. God bless all of you who have served and are serving, your family members. You are doing a blessing, and in America, every day is really Veterans Day.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We mean it, folks. Really, every day is Veterans Day in America, and I think the American people get that. I know our men and women understand that as well, but it is Veterans Day specifically, and we have to, again, just honor that. I know we got a lot of active duty military, former military, your families as well, who call into the broadcast, who support the ACLJ, and we always say thank you for your service, but on this specific day, it's for all of us, the whole country, to come together and acknowledge those who have made the sacrifice, some who have made the ultimate sacrifice. The families, those who are fighting right now, those who are sending off their sons and daughters as well and have done so in the past. So again, a very happy Veterans Day. God bless all of you, and you are providing the service to our country that is the most critical. Without you, we don't have the liberty. We don't have the freedom. But Dad, we have a lot of issues to get to today as well. This is a federal holiday in Washington, D.C., but they're not at the United Nations and not internationally.
No, we've got some big news to report, folks. And by the way, our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Well, the Palestinian application for membership in the United Nations looks like it is going to be rejected after the Palestinian Authority has failed to muster sufficient support in the U.N. By the way, it doesn't look like the United States is going to have to give its veto either. The Security Council's Committee on Admitting New Members, that's who it was referred to, is expected to approve a report today that says it could not reach consensus on whether the Palestinian Authority should be accepted as a U.N. member. This is the latest sign, folks, frankly, that the Palestinian UN push is pretty much doomed. Mahmoud Abbas, realizing it too, is making public statements, but we went to work on this, and a lot of other people did as well. We don't have the official report yet, but it looks like the Palestinian Authority's request for statehood will fail at the United Nations without the need for a U.S. veto. That is big news on the international front. On the domestic front, the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday conferenced the applications for hearing, and that is involving the health care cases, the Obamacare cases from Florida, from out of the Sixth Circuit and out of the Fourth Circuit as well. Three cases, actually five cases up there in total now, a sixth on the way. I suspect that Monday we're going to hear that the Supreme Court has in fact decided to hear this case involving Obamacare. We will let you know Monday morning. If for some reason they issue an ordered list this morning or this afternoon, we'll let you know as well. So keep going to ACLJ.org. We're going to keep you updated. We're going to be joined by a special guest coming up after the break, Jordan. We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, that is Eric Steckelback from CBN News, their chief terror analyst, who I have on my broadcast a lot. Today. He's been on Jay Sekulow Live before because I really wanted to. So many of you, I think, have questioned what threat this has in the United States if there's a military action. I really wanted you to hear directly from Eric, who this is his one expertise area. He's the chief terror analyst. He's got a new book out, The Terrorist Next Door, which talks about these Iranian Revolutionary Guard and Hezbollah being here. It's not about just being overseas. So Eric's going to be with us, Dad.
That's very good. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your phone calls at 800-684-3110. If you want to talk to Eric about the situation in Iran, we encourage you to call in. If you're concerned about Iran, what do you think about the UN's apparent move to deny Palestinian statehood? And you're a veteran, we certainly want to hear from you today, if not just to say thank you. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Jordan's going to let you know how you can support these sanctions being put in place.
877-989-2255. Listen, folks, we got to do everything we can to cripple this regime. If there's military conflict, sanctions matter too, because of these agents getting paid who may be setting off bombs in the streets of America. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, thank you, troops. Thank you, veterans.
Trump
troubling new evidence against Iran. A respected international agency has uncovered an active and dangerous program in Iran to fast-track the manufacturing of nuclear weapons. What's worse, Iran's president, who continues to threaten to wipe Israel off the map, rejected the new findings, calling them absurd, and said Iran won't retreat, quote, one iota from its nuclear program. This is a critical time. The United States must take dramatic action against Iran. There have been sanctions in place for years, but with this new nuclear threat, it's now time to ratchet up the pressure. It's time for tough new sanctions against Iran, focusing on their financial and energy industries, as well as their military. Stand with the ACLJ and support current legislation in Congress that would bring the hammer down on Iran. Tell Congress enough is enough. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at ACLJ.org. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Seculo brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Seculo is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to JordanSeculo.com.
It is clear now to the world that Iran is the problem. It is not the United States. It is not the international community.
You know, folks, that's a White House spokesperson, press secretary, Jay Carney. And again, you know, you see what we've done with the State Department on the Iranian issue with Pastor Nader Khani and them confirming that we were there and engaging and coming out with the condemnation. You hear the rhetoric changing, I think, certainly differently when it comes to Iran and the nuclear program. Clear now to the world that Iran is the problem, not United States, not international community, not our foreign policy. And Eric Steckelback from CBN News, their chief terror analyst, because I know a lot of you have these questions. You know, is this really attacks could happen on the United States of America when they say so, or is it just our troops overseas in danger if there was some kind of conflict? And also, does Israel really work, you know, behind the scenes with the Saudis to fly over to attack Iran? And some of you were calling yesterday, said there's no way, I don't believe that. We're going to get to Eric in a second, but it's Veterans Day, and I wanted to let a veteran who's calling in now, Charlie from Florida, on the air first. And Charlie, thank you for your service to our country, 20 years of active duty, and you're on the broadcast now.
Well, thank you again for allowing me to speak on your network. I just want to say that there are many other fellow veterans who have served this country proudly, and I want to thank them personally myself, and especially those who are now serving on active duty across the waterways where they are in harm's way. And I want to pray, I'd like for us all to remember them in our prayers, that they will safely return home to their families.
Absolutely, Charlie. Thank you for your service to our country, and we know this is. We got Eric Steckelback joining us now because those troops you're talking about could be facing a totally new issue in the Middle East, Persian Gulf region. Eric Steckelback's the chief terror analyst for CBN News. He's got his own show on CBN News. You go find that at cbnnews.com. And his new book is The Terrorist Next Door. It actually talks about these Iranian agents here. He's on my show a lot. He's been on Jay Sekulow Live and Dad because people have so many questions about right. Is this threat really going to hurt us on the United States soil. I saw, you know, we got to get Eric on your show as well.
I think that's
to
great.
Get people the message.
Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us today.
Jay, great to be with you guys.
Let me ask you this, because we've been covering it this week, and this is the situation with Iran. You've got a sanction move right now at the United Nations that's pretty significant, at the Congress, to put in serious sanctions. But I think we've got to talk about the threat. First of all, as you view it, you're an expert in the area. How significant is Iran as a threat, not only to the Middle East, but to the United States' interests?
To me, Jay, this is the greatest threat to America's national security, bar none. I say that for a few reasons. Number one,
quickly, I'm only jumping into this. The UN Security Council just announced that the Palestinians have failed to put together enough votes, and there will be no Palestinian statehood. Just very quickly.
Wow,
I'll
go
through that, Dad, as you're talking.
Okay.
We'll get back to Eric. Let me go through this now. Yep.
Okay, great. All right, Eric, so let's go ahead and restate that again. How serious of a threat?
Sure. And by the way, the Palestinians will probably go to the General Assembly now.
Yep.
How serious is the Iranian threat? I believe, Jay, it is the most serious threat facing America's national security. I say that for a few reasons. Number one, we know that Iran is very close to acquiring a nuclear weapon. If they get the bomb, they will use it. We know that because they have said so. When they talk about wiping Israel and America off the map, they mean it. And we know that because this is a messianic, apocalyptic regime, Jay. Not only Ahmadinejad, who clearly believes that the Mahdi, the Islamic Messiah, is about to return to Earth, but also the Supreme Leader. Iranian sources I talk to who are in the know say, yes, the Iranian Supreme Leader also holds this apocalyptic worldview that Ahmadinejad does. He just keeps it a little closer to the vest. But when Ahmadinejad goes out there and he says that the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, is about to return to Earth, lead the armies of Islam to victory over the infidels, he's just the public face of the Supreme Leader. The Supreme Leader would not let Ahmadinejad say these things in public if he did not agree with them. So it's a messianic regime that will use nuclear weapons. In terms of America, why it's so dangerous for us, something that's not discussed a lot, is that in addition to this nuclear weapons program, Jay, Iran is working on a ballistic missile program. Our own Pentagon, just last year, released a report, a very underlooked report, saying that by the year 2015, Iran may have intercontinental ballistic missiles that can reach the east coast of the United States, and those missiles will be nuclear tipped. No greater danger than to have a suicidal, apocalyptic regime possessing the world's most dangerous weapons, and we are the great Satan in their view. Israel is only the little Satan and a bump on the road to the ultimate prize, which is America.
Now, Israel's been very clear, Eric, that they are not going to tolerate a nuclearized Iranian regime. And one of the things we brought up is the fact that behind the scenes, countries like Saudi Arabia and others, the Gulf region states, are actually working with Israel to avoid the situation with a nuclear device being put in the hands of the Iranians. They look at it as a serious threat, and there's cooperation going on between Israel and Saudi Arabia. We're getting a lot of calls where people go, I do not believe that for a moment.
You know what, Jay? There's been a lot of chatter about that for the past few years. Would the Saudis let the Israelis use Saudi airspace to strike Iran? It's a very interesting question. On one hand, you say yes, because the Saudis view Iran, the Shia superpower, in their midst. The Saudis view Iran also as an existential threat to their regime, not just the Israelis. Sunni regimes in the Middle East also view Iran as an existential threat. Remember, the eastern half of Saudi Arabia is majority Shia, and that's where most of the oil is in Saudi Arabia. The Saudis have long worried about Iran stirring up that Shia population in the eastern half of Saudi Arabia. Been a major concern of theirs for years, ever since the Ayatollah came to power in 1979. They are frightened that Iran, the Persian Shia superpower, will be nuclear armed and become the major player in the Middle East. So the Saudis are scared to death of it, Jay. I can tell you other Sunni regimes. I talked to Sunni Arab diplomats here in D.C., and privately they will tell you. I'll give you a great example. Last year, I sat down with a Sunni Arab diplomat from an Arab country I won't name to discuss Al-Qaeda. Jay, 90% of the conversation, he talked about Iran and Hezbollah. He kept turning the conversation back to Iran. This is the major fear of the Sunni Arab states.
And these are from other Arab states. It's very important to reiterate here. We're talking about other Arab states that are saying this exact same thing. I mean, this is not just Israel. This is other Arab states know the concern here.
Jay, absolutely. And at least when you sit face-to-face with them, they're even more animated about the Iranian threat. This is Sunni Arab states. As I said, this diplomat I talked to, we spent the whole conversation talking Iran. So think about that, and you could see the Saudis kind of a wink and a nod, letting Israel use that airspace. Now, on the negative side, you would think, you know, they'd never let them do it. You could see the backlash that the Saudis would face in the Muslim world if they let the Zionist entity use
their... Yeah, the Zionist regime, right.
Well, so that's the downside for the Saudis, but I think that hatred and fear of Iran might trump that.
All right, let me ask you this. We talk about the threats. We've now got a situation where there are three separate pieces of significant legislation pending in Capitol Hill right now that would put in real sanctions, stiff sanctions, as Secretary of State Clinton said, crippling sanctions. How important is it, do you view, that we take action domestically here in the United States against Iran through these real sanctions, not this just pat them on the head saying, you know, don't do this, but real sanctions here?
You know, Jay, sanctions are great, and they have hurt the Iranian economy. But, you know, at the end of the day, the bottom line is sanctions will not stop Iran's drive for a nuclear bomb. It's not going to happen. Ahmadinejad himself has said, and I quote, "Our nuclear program is like a train with no brakes. They are animated by this ideology that I talked about, which says, hey, they are going to lead the armies of Islam in an end times battle against the Christians and Jews. That's what drives them. You cannot stop this regime through mere sanctions. I hate to say it, and it's very unsavory, but the only way you're going to definitively stop this Iranian nuclear weapons program is with military action. I think the sanctions are basically, at the end of the day, it sounds great. It's going to bite them in the wallet a little bit, but it's a dog and pony show. Everyone knows in their heart of hearts that only military action will stop this regime. But the big question, do we have the will in the West, in Europe, in America to do it? I don't think so, Jay. And I think based on conversations I've had on and off the record for the past 6-7 years with Israeli officials, there's not really a doubt in my mind that Israel will take action militarily.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It'd be better if it was a global effort. It'd be better if there was a united coalition. But in the end of the day, Israel is not going to allow a situation where Iran has a nuclear weapon. Eric Steckelback is the author of The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. He is also the CBN senior correspondent on terrorism at CBN News. Does a great job. Eric, thanks for being with us today.
Guys, thanks so much, and happy Veterans Day to everyone.
You too. All right, very good. Hey, Jordan, let's wrap this segment up. And good news here, though, on the Palestinian Authority situation, it looks like.
It is. Dad, I think we can break that down a little bit more when we get back from the next break, that what the Palestinians can do next, as Eric mentioned. Eric's a great friend of mine, of ours, on the Jordan Sekulow Show, and I knew that you needed to hear that information. Check his stuff out, too, especially that book. It talks about the Iranian agents. He wrote that, of course, before this threat was occurring, before we arrested an Iranian Revolutionary Guard person here on our soil. So we need to take action now, folks, to protect America. 877-989-2255. It's a threat to the United States. We've got to stop a nuclear Iran. We've got to get the UN involved and the world involved. 877-989-2255. Again, I think on Veterans Day, we don't need our guys having to face this. And if we can do anything to make it less of a problem, less of a burden, we need these sanctions. 877-989-2255. God bless
the U.S. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Sekulow brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to JordanSekulow.com. Troubling new evidence against Iran. A respected international agency has uncovered an active and dangerous program in Iran to fast-track the manufacturing of nuclear weapons. What's worse, Iran's president, who continues to threaten to wipe Israel off the map, rejected the new findings, calling them absurd, and said Iran won't retreat, quote, one iota from its nuclear program. This is a critical time. The United States must take dramatic action against Iran. There have been sanctions in place for years, but with this this new nuclear threat. It's now time to ratchet up the pressure. It's time for tough new sanctions against Iran, focusing on their financial and energy industries, as well as their military. Stand with the ACLJ and support current legislation in Congress that would bring the hammer down on Iran. Tell Congress enough is enough. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at ACLJ.org.
I thank God for my life and for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who die, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love. For life to see the sunrise.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got breaking news that we're analyzing right now. Jordan, what's the latest that we've got out of the UN here?
You know, the Palestinians have been working at first to the Security Council. They have to agree to allow a new member into the United Nations, a new member state, and the Palestinians made that move. There are 15 members of the Security Council. Five are permanent, U.S., U.K., France, Russia, and China. The other members, the other 10 rotate on different bases at different times. So they've always got different people coming in and out. The Palestinians thought this was their opportunity. What happens first when you make this bid, Dad, is that the UN Security Council, behind closed doors, goes amongst itself, not voting, and says who supports, who doesn't, and do we have the consensus? That means, are there nine states here willing out of 15, a bare majority, to vote for Palestinian statehood? And the council then announced today there is not. What we are hearing is that the Palestinians only have eight supporters. So what they can do now is they can say specifically, they can say that the Palestinians can say that the Security Council members, again, folks, just so you understand, Palestinians can still call for the vote, Dad. They can call for the vote, but
The vote's not there. I mean, they don't have the nine, which is required to get it out of the Security Council, and they may try an end run to go to the General Assembly, but that will not get them what they need either, because the General Assembly can't give statehood unless under two very narrow circumstances, neither of which are met here.
Yeah, absolutely right. And so what you have going on, though, just so we understand the news, is that, and that's why I'm kind of just making sure you get this, folks. I know I'm just trying to go through this. It is literally, this is breaking now. The Palestinians can still say, well, we still want to vote. But if the U.S. doesn't have to veto it, I mean, they really look bad. They can go to a General Assembly, which can't officially grant statehood status. That's not a good thing. But certainly, this is really, folks, this is it for the Palestinians. I mean, they just they thought this was their opportunity, and they were made to look very foolish by pushing this so hard at the United Nations that they could not even get to the nine, which would require the veto at a place which is not necessarily pro-Israel or so pro-U.S. foreign policy.
No, but here's what – let's put this in a final perspective, and let me give you some history here. Remember, folks, we went to work on this a couple of months ago aggressively. We had our team in New York working on it, our team in Washington, our folks in our office in Strasbourg, France. So we had a complete package of legal team and government affairs team working on this. We worked with individual governments. Our concern was and is that a unilateral move, which is what this was, by the Palestinian Authority would undercut Israel's sovereignty, would absolutely cause havoc in the region, and the Palestinian Authority is institutionally incapable of self-governance right now. Evidently, they could not get the nine votes they needed to get it out of the Security Council. This is, I want to be very clear here, a major, major, major victory. We fought very hard for this. Now, this compels the Palestinian Authority to sit down with the Israelis and to go negotiate out a real resolution here. None of this unilateral moves that were in place. But it's now being sent out by Israel's tweeting it out, sending it out. It's being picked up by press, Haaretz News.
It's all over
now. Yeah, it's out there now. So this is, folks, this is a great way to get ready for the weekend, because this is ending this first phase of this battle, and we've got a victory here. And I want to thank, I think we heard from 150,000 of you on this issue over the last months, and this is a major, major victory.
Let me use this as an opportunity to show again why some of you say, why do you do so much work at the UN? Why is the European Center for Law and Justice? You know, we're official. We're an NGO recognized by the UN. Here's why, folks, you don't ignore the UN. You can still win some issues, and you were part of the reason. And believe in why the ACLJ says it's important for us to engage and be have an NGO status through our European Center for Law and Justice and do that work, because you've stopped the Palestinian state. And if we're not there, if you don't have a voice, you don't know what's going on. You don't get access. You don't get to make commentary. You don't have the influence. You don't get the meetings. We are able to get that, and it's because you stand with us and you understand that you've trusted us. This, I think, is the best example so far of why the ACLJ and our European Center for Law and Justice has why we have the NGO status, why we spend resources at the United Nations. Dad, people say, why do we do that? That's a waste of time. We just stopped the Palestinian state because of those resources and groups like ours.
Yeah, let me tell you this, folks. 62,771 signed on to the first petition. Another 31,000 signed on to the second, and then probably another 30,000 over the phones, over 130,000 signatures, and we've got a major, major victory, and I am telling you, this is very good. We got a call coming in. Jordan, let's take that call, but a major victory here on this fight at the UN for Palestinian statehood.
Yep, Gene calling from Michigan Online 2. Gene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gene.
Hi, Jay. I'm glad we had a victory, but what I had thought was that we had to automatically defund UNESCO.
We did that, yes.
Well, I thought the same thing could have happened with the UN. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if we'd have defunded the UN because they chose a Palestinian state?
But the UN Security Council did not. This was UNESCO, is a part of the UN, obviously, but they got a tremendous amount of pushback because they lost 22% of their funding. Here's what you've got. We were able to go into the UN, as Jordan just said, and stop this. Now, for Israel's safety and for ours as well, that was a better move. Utilizing the legal system inside the United Nations is what we do at the ACLJ and our affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice. And look, this is a major win, because even if the Palestinian Authority tries to take it to the General Assembly, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. And if it does, it doesn't have the full effect statehood.
Because, see, even if the U.S. had to veto, if they would have gotten to 9 and we had to veto, that General Assembly resolution could have had more. Some, you know, international courts could have said, well, they had it, but the U.S. vetoed it. So really, the General Assembly resolution combined with the fact that it took a veto, we're going to still recognize them. The U.N. might not, but we will recognize them now as a state. They didn't get to that point, Dad. I mean, they couldn't get it when these countries are not doing this because of the United States policy, or not certainly because they don't like Israel. It's because the Palestinians push too hard, too aggressively. And what does it show you, folks? Sometimes you say, fine, bring it. Let's see if the world's ready to stand up for your Palestinian state when half your country is controlled by a terrorist organization and your government is propped up by the United States and your great enemy, supposedly Israel, talking about the Palestinian Authority, who, if they backed out, would also be controlled by Hamas. Why do we want to grant you statehood status? Security Council says we don't.
Well, I think that's exactly right. So this is, folks, again, a thank you to our members, a thank you to our veterans on this Veterans Day, but a great victory at the UN here at the end of the broadcast. Palestinian statehood denied on a unilateral move by the PA into the UN. That fails. And the United States did not have to exercise its veto. Hey, folks, let me encourage you to do something as we close the broadcast out and this week out. I want to encourage you. We're in a matching challenge right now. If you enjoy this program, if you want to be part of our team, go to aclj.org, and you can make an online donation of any amount, tax deductible. And when you go to aclj.org and make that donation, we're getting a matching grant. We had some people donating $500. We get $1,000. $10 is $20. So we get a matching grant. Please go to aclj.org. Sign up there and become part of our team. Easy way to do it. Again, we're in a matching grant, a matching challenge. So aclj.org is an easy way to do it. We also want to get your signatures on this letter petition going to the Congress to get these sanctions in place. And we need your help on that as well. Many of you have done so. You can do that by calling us at 877-989-2255. You can also make an online donation at 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. But, folks, as we close this week out, thank you to our veterans. We've got a number of veterans on our staff here at the ACLJ, and I want to thank them. Skip Ash, David French, David Benjamin out in Israel, a lot of veterans. So we appreciate their support and their help. Again, aclj.org for that online donation. And it's going to be a part of a matching challenge. Have a great weekend.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Sekulow Show. Jordan Sekulow provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordansekulow.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Sekulow Show via email, info@sekulow.com.